am in such pain today. I mean, I am really in pain.
Well, Kevin, what's wrong with you that you're in all that pain?
Well, this is the mother of all pain. I don't think I've ever had so much pain. It's because I'm fasting and praying to God.
Oh, I see.
And
well,
I'm suffering for Jesus.
Oh.
And I am so hungry.
Well, when did you last eat?
Last night at midnight.
Well, I thought the way you're acting had been weeks since you'd eaten.
Well, that would really be painful. But, I mean, this is bad enough. This is the mother of all pain. I'm fasting and praying for Jesus, you know.
Well, I suppose if you knew already you were going to fast today, you would have eaten a good dinner last night. So what did you eat?
Well, that may be part of the problem. As I, at midnight last night, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. I ate a pepperoni pizza all to myself. And it's kind of settling pretty rough on me this morning, but I'm suffering for Jesus.
Dad, what are you whining about? My family and I came to hear you preach this morning, and all you've done so far is moan and groan.
Well, Rebecca, I'm so glad you're here today. I love it when you come to Reinhardt to hear me preach, but I'm hurting.
Well, I guess I have one thing to say to you.
What?
Suck it up and quit your moaning and groaning.
That girl's more like her mother every day. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance in order to be seen fasting by men. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may not be seen fasting by men, but by your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You see, the Pharisees were all for show. They were play actors. And you probably remember that's what the word hypocrite means. We've talked about that over the last couple of weeks. These Pharisees were pretending to be someone whom they were not. And already Jesus has gotten after them for their hypocrisy in their giving and in their praying. And now he's getting after them for their hypocrisy in their fasting. They were play acting when it came to fasting. They were making sure that everyone knew that they were fasting. And I am sure that they put on their gloomy face and they were all bent over and moaning and groaning, just like what you've seen me do here just a few moments ago. And it was to get attention. It was to get the applause of other people, for people to think that they were so spiritual in their fasting. And Jesus said to them, they have their reward in full. Did you notice from the text, though, that Jesus expects his followers to fast? He said, when you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. Verse 17, he said, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Just as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, just as Jesus expected his followers to give and to pray, I think it would be reasonable for us to say from Scripture that he expects his followers to fast. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Jesus it says, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and they came and said to him, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, while the bridegroom is with them, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot fast, can they? So long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. It sounds to me like Jesus has some expectations for his followers to fast. There was no need for his followers to fast while he was with them. But he said, when the bridegroom is taken away from them, then they will fast. And so, why do so few of Jesus' followers today fast? That's a question I'd like for us to think about. Maybe it's because they have not been challenged to fast. I'm wondering if I were to ask you to raise your hand, have you ever heard a sermon on the subject of fasting? I would imagine that there would be some hands that would say, no, I've never heard such a sermon on fasting. And that's unfortunate, because there is such great benefit to the person who takes time to pray and fast, not to mention the power that we tap into through praying and fasting. Matthew chapter 17, Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and he found his disciples in a dilemma. A man whose son was demon-possessed, he had come to Jesus' disciples. He's asking them to cast the demon out. They tried to do that and they could not. They were unsuccessful in casting that demon out. And so Jesus comes down from the mountain. Maybe you remember this passage. Peter and James and John are with him. And the father of this demon-possessed son sees Jesus as he makes his appearance. And he runs over to Jesus. And he says to him, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he often falls into the fire and into the water. And if you read on in that chapter, Jesus cast the demon out. And later, while Jesus and his disciples are alone together, the disciples ask him, why could you cast the demon out and we couldn't? Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. This is how Jesus answers them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Why wouldn't we preach on prayer and fasting? I think to ignore this topic is to miss out on some very special miracles that God wants to give to us. Now, probably another reason that we don't practice fasting is simply that we don't understand it. And very, very true, the church isn't helping with this problem if we are completely ignoring this topic in our preaching and our teaching. Or maybe we would think like this. Maybe praying and fasting is for the monk in the monastery to do, but it's not for the common Christian to do. I've got news for you. Fasting is something that all of us can do, and it's something that we should do. It's something that Christ expected us to do when he was physically taken away from this earth. Had an interesting conversation with someone just this last week who asked me about fasting. Now, I have to tell you, that is not something that I am asked about very often. And I did not think that it was a coincidence at all in that question being asked, knowing that this sermon today was about the subject of fasting. One of the questions that was asked in that conversation was simply about one's health. They said, what about those people who have health issues in their life that fasting would be detrimental to their health? Well, and that is true. I don't think Jesus would want us to endanger our health through fasting. And please understand, there are no strict guidelines in this book about fasting, about how often we are to fast, or even what our fast is to be like. The Pharisees fasted twice a week, and yet it was all for show, and Jesus got after them about their hypocrisy in their fasting. I think a good guideline for us with this subject of fasting would simply be this. We fast when the Spirit of God prompts us to fast. And let us let the Holy Spirit direct us in our fast. He may direct us to fast for one day from food. He may direct us to fast for one meal. He may direct us to fast from something that is taking too much of our attention. I wonder if he might would direct us to fast from TV for a period of time, or from our cell phone for a period of time, or from any kind of technology for a period of time. You may remember the Apostle Paul said, I will not be mastered by anything. He said that in the context of Jesus is my master. Nothing else is to be my master. Only Jesus is to be my master. I wonder if the Holy Spirit would take a look at our life and what is it that we are giving attention to, and he would say, okay, Kevin, just leave the cell phone alone for 24 hours. Leave the TV alone for a week or a month. And give that time and attention to me. I wonder if he would lead us to fast from a certain food or from a certain drink. All of this is between you and God and what he puts on your heart through the Holy Spirit. We fast for him and to his honor. And no doubt one of the great benefits of fasting is that it helps us in our personal discipline. If it's food that we're fasting from, we are saying to our stomach, stomach, you are not going to control me. Huh. Now granted, isn't it true? We are a people who like to eat. And oftentimes, whether we're hungry or not, if the clock strikes 12 or the clock is at 5 or 6 o'clock, whatever time it is that you eat supper, the stomach is saying it's time to eat, whether we're hungry or not. If the stomach controls us, if the stomach is ruling over us, then that is not good. The Apostle Paul said, I discipline my body and make it my slave. The Holy Spirit is the one who should be ruling over us. So if the Holy Spirit prompts you or I to fast to the glory of God, then our mind is governing over our stomach, and the Spirit of God is saying, let it go. Just let it go. Even though the stomach is saying it's time to eat, the Spirit may at some point say to you, let it go to the glory of God. I want to give to you something to chew on. Maybe this is something that you've never heard before. Let me ask you, what was the sin of Sodom that we are most familiar with? Help me out. What was it? The sin of Sodom. It was homosexuality. God sent fire from heaven down to consume that city along with the city of Gomorrah. But I want you to know the prophet Ezekiel says that there was something else going on in that city that we don't talk about. Let me read to you from Ezekiel chapter 16. Verses 49 and 50 from the New International Version, it says this. Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them as you have seen. Wow. Now, we're very familiar with the sin of immorality, the sin of homosexuality that was going on in those cities. And God's judgment came against those cities. But have we thought about the fact that they were also a very gluttonous people? And when one has no discipline in one area of their life, then it tends to bleed over and it causes a lack of discipline in the entire body. Wow. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to control our body rather than letting our body control us. Let me give to you some reasons about why a person might choose to fast and pray. The first reason would simply be this: to worship God. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 says, the early church was worshiping the Lord and fasting. Apparently, it was a corporate fast. The whole church was involved in this fast together. And as they were worshiping God, the Spirit of God moved them to set apart Paul and Barnabas for ministry. My point is simply this: when God's people pray and fast, you can expect God's Spirit to move and to work and to bless and to direct. Interesting. The prophet Zechariah, chapter 7 of his book, verse 5, says this: say to all the people of the land and to the priest, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months these 70 years, was it actually for me that you fasted? That's God speaking through the prophet. Was it actually for me that you fasted? Our fasting is to be for Him, to worship Him, to lift up His name above every other name. And I think that we will find when we worship Him, we will be nourished in a way that is beyond our understanding. Let me read to you a paragraph from this book. Actually, this is a book that my daughter Rebecca gave to me a couple of Christmases ago. It's called Spiritual Disciplines Handbook. And it has a chapter about fasting. It says, feed on Jesus, the bread of life. Skip the radio or TV for a day and become aware of how fidgety you are when you aren't being amused or diverted. Then dodge the remote and embrace Jesus and His words. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. Taste the difference between what truly nourishes the soul, the living bread and the life-giving water, and what is simply junk food. Fasting reminds us that we care about soul things. We care about the church. We care about the world. We care about doing God's will. Thus, we willingly set aside a little comfort so that we can listen and attend to the voice and nourishment of God alone. For God can give us grace and comfort and nurture we cannot get on our own. I was thinking about in John chapter 4. You remember Jesus is at the well and He's talking with this Samaritan woman, and His disciples have gone away. They've gone away to get what? To get food. It's lunchtime. They've gone into town to get food, and they bring food back to Jesus, and they're very surprised to see Him talking to this Samaritan woman, and they're offering Him lunch because it's lunchtime. Do you remember what Jesus said to them? He said, I have food that you don't know about. I think Jesus certainly understood what I'm talking to you about today. When we would go to God in a time of fasting and praying, there is nourishment there that is beyond our understanding. It's a spiritual nourishment. So why would a person choose to fast and pray to God? Simply to worship Him. To have a season where they totally devote their attention to God the Father, to Jesus the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Let me give to you another reason for fasting, and that is simply to bring a special request before God. The things that we are interested in, I want you to know He is interested in. The things that are important to you, they are important to God. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, the scribe called a fast before God to ask Him for safe travel for God's people because they were going to be making a long journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. So he calls for a fast. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16, David fasted and prayed that God would heal his son. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, the king was fasting for God to protect Daniel from the lions. Isn't that interesting? This same king is the one who threw Daniel into the lion's den, and then he went back, and all night long he prayed and fasted that God would protect him from those lions. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6, God says this through the prophet, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to set the oppressed go free and break every yoke?" God right there in that verse spells out for us a reason for fasting and praying is that one would have a special request before God. In this particular case, that request would be, "Lord, I have sin in my life. Would you help me break the chains of that sin?" The sin of pornography. I mean, anybody here need to pray a prayer? "God, would you help me break the chains of pornography in my life? I've tried to break those chains myself. I need your extra strength, God. God, I have a temper issue in my life. Would you help me break the chains of that temper? Help release me from the yoke of that temper. Lord, I have a problem with bitterness. I have a problem with selfishness. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. God, would you help me break the chains of the sin that is in my life?" That's a reason that one would go to God in a season of fasting and praying. His power is greater than the power of the evil one. You remember Jesus' words in Matthew 17. This kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. Do we take our sin that seriously? That we would actually miss some meals, that we would go a period of time without eating because we are seeking God and His power and His victory in our life over that sin that is besetting us. Or maybe there's another request that you would be prompted by the Holy Spirit to bring to the Lord and to fast and pray with that request on your mind or on your heart. How about if you have a spouse or a child that is outside of the faith, and you've been asking God to help bring that person to faith, and it's just not happening. How about if you go to God in a season of prayer and fasting, and you cry out to Him, God, would you save my husband? Would you save my son? Would you break down my daughter's heart? My mom, my dad, Lord, they're not listening to the message of the gospel. Would you touch their heart? And you pray that prayer in a season of fasting. God, this means more to me than anything in the world. It means more to me than food. I'm crying out to you. My prodigal daughter, my prodigal son, would you help them come back to Jesus? My grandkids need Jesus in their life. Would you protect them from the evil one? God, my wife has cancer. Would you help her? Would you heal her, God? I mean, surely our fasting and praying will get His attention that fast. Now, that doesn't mean He's obligated to answer all of our prayers that are accompanied by fasting. Hear me say that. David fasted and prayed for the life of his son, and that prayer was not granted to him. God is still God, and we are not. And you remember, I said it last week, prayer is not to align God to our will. Rather, it's us getting in alignment with His will. Fasting is not like us rubbing a magical lamp and manipulating God to conform to our will. Rather, it's you and I coming before Him, and we are crying out to Him for His mercy. And Psalms 51 says that God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. And so why would a person choose to fast and pray? To worship Him? To simply bring a special request before Him that is upon our heart? And really, there are so many other reasons in Scripture. I'm not going to take the time to develop all of those reasons. If you have in your bulletin, you take a look there, you'll see several other reasons. The third one was to seek wisdom and understanding. Do we need that? Sure we do. And there are times that we especially need that as we have decisions in front of us and we go before Him in a season of prayer and fasting, and we are saying, God, would you give to me wisdom concerning this decision that I am about to make? And God will hear your prayer. And God says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God, and He will give to all men generously and without reproach. Number four, to mourn over sin. Number five, to consecrate oneself before God. Number six, to be empowered by God. And number seven, to cry out to God in behalf of one's country. No wonder Jesus said, when you fast, this is how you are not to do it, or this is how you are to do it. You take a look at those seven reasons for which we see in Scripture as to why a person would go into a season of praying and fasting. And I think within those seven points, surely there are things that are upon our heart or in our life that at some point or another, the Holy Spirit is going to nudge you to take some time to pray and to fast. Could I encourage you to just be open to God's Spirit? Give that a try in your life. What could this church do more than what we are doing if we would listen to the Lord and go into a season of fasting and praying at different points in our life, or even together as a church? I want to throw an idea out to you. September 30th, you've heard me say this last Sunday, September 30th is a day that we are saying, let's make a decision for Jesus. If a decision hasn't been made yet in one's life, let's make a decision for Christ, to be baptized into Jesus Christ. We're calling September 30th Decision Sunday, Baptism Sunday. Would you, as a church, sometime between now and September 30th, would you take a time to pray and fast for lost souls? Maybe it's somebody in your family that needs saved. Maybe it's somebody that I don't even know, but you know them, and you have a burden for them. Would you consider taking a meal time, a day, whatever the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do, and pray and fast for lost souls to be saved on September 30th. Let's pray together, please. God, maybe today is the first time for some to ever hear such a sermon. And I don't think we can argue the scripture and what it says. And what an opportunity to discipline ourselves, to bring discipline to our body. To choose to not let the stomach rule us, but to let the Spirit of God rule us. May we just go from here determined to listen to the Spirit. If the Spirit would speak to us and prompt us to fast and pray, then may we submit to that. If He doesn't, then we want to listen to the Spirit. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Your hearing our prayers, dear Lord. We need You desperately in our lives, in this church. We need You here to lead us. Sermon on the Mount's not easy, Jesus. Turning the other cheek isn't easy. Loving our enemies, not easy. Walking the extra mile, forgiving our offender, none of that's easy. And here is another point that is not easy for us to do. We're pretty well fed. Maybe too well fed and undisciplined. And so, God, we give ourselves to You in prayer here, and we want to leave this day listening. to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.